Welcome to Straight Talk with MJ. I'm your host, Michelle Jeanette. Thank you once again for joining me. Last time I chatted with you, I brought Marion Knight, and we were talking about the battery storage facility plant coming into our county. We are still in the middle of that battle, so to speak, either to get them removed or to put a lot of regulations on that facility. Hopefully, I can bring updates that some good news moving forward with that. We'll see how that goes. Also, last episode, I told you that I would let you know where I've been this year because I have not put out very many podcast episodes. So what happened to me in January kind of had a lot to do with where I've been the first part of the year. And then I've just been extremely busy with some local group that I am involved in. But I will get to what my focus is going to be now moving forward with the podcast here in a little bit. But I, back in January, got sick. And unbeknownst to me, I had the flu. I didn't realize it. But I got sick, and then in my feverish stupor one morning, I got up to take my temperature, and when I did, I passed out or blacked out, and when I did, I fell and hit the back of my head on the tile floor in our bathroom. I mean, just huge crash. My parents live with us. My dad said he felt something. I guess, I don't know. I must have hit the wall or something. I don't even remember it, but I had a severe concussion and went to the ER, all that fun stuff that scared my husband to death. But I was pretty much out of it for about 8 to 10 weeks before I could get really clear-headed and get back into my life. So that was quite a bit of a detour for the beginning of my year. And then a couple of months ago, about 6-8 weeks ago, I was working out, doing a lot of landscape with my husband, and hurt my back, and then had to go through that. So I think I have managed to meet my deductible this year for my health insurance. So that's kind of where I've been this year. And so what I've wanted to share and what I'm going to do moving forward is a little bit of a different angle with my podcast, and hopefully they're not going to be near as long as they used to be. And I might throw in some interviews here and there because I'm supposed to be interviewing the two local school board members that will be running in the primaries in the election next year. But moving forward, I don't know if you've heard of Dutch Sheets and Give Him 15. If you follow him, it's fantastic. It's just 15 minutes of either reading or listening to his video every morning, devotional declarations over our nation, and really the roots of what our nation was founded on is fantastic to follow. I'm going to put a link in today's podcast blog page or show notes to let you know how to follow him and where to go. But right now they're in a project of paint the states, paint your state. And it's really an effort by hundreds and thousands of people to pray over their individual states, counties, cities, towns, regions. Some people drive coastlines, state borders, whatever it is that God's leading you to do. And it's all off of a vision or a dream that he talks about where God has told them to command the forward, which means forward, F-O-R-E-W-O-R-D, like the beginning of a book or the foundation of a nation, right? So obviously, if you follow me, you know my passion is the true history of our nation. So moving forward with the podcast, I'm going to focus a lot more on that and not just local news or national news. We all know our nation is in peril and that the people in the regime right now hate it, want to destroy it, is the most corrupt president and administration ever. And we sometimes, I know, I throw up my hands and think, what the heck can I do? I mean, that's so far away, and the federal government is so, has gone so rogue and so off the rails, coming after and targeting conservatives and Christians, sending FBI to Catholic home, people's homes to raid them with their families there because they were praying outside of an abortion clinic. It's just, you know, arresting and indicting your opponent. Sounds like we don't even live in America anymore. So what Command the Forward is it's calling forth the original intent of our country, which was established with Christian principles and on biblical foundations. And I don't care if you don't believe that. It's the truth. And the truth is always going to be the truth. And no matter how they try to change the history and rewrite and not teach your kids in school, I mean, kids in school are learning to hate this country or to hate themselves if they're white, and to always think of themselves as a victim if they're not white. It's not what our kids should be learning. And so my passion is history. And so I'm going to bring the truth to you about that. I think also being part of the grassroots group this last year, Empowered Jefferson, the constitutional conservatives that we are, wanting to have accountability and transparency in our local government. We've learned a lot too, doing what we're doing as far as addressing school issues and county commission issues, local issues like the battery facility plant. But really, we're kind of refocusing and learning along in the process that you can scream and shout about policy and what should be done, but unless you have people that are elected in elected positions that have the same mindset as you, that they love the country, they love the state, they love the county, then it's not going to make any, really a whole lot of difference until you get the right people in power. And since we the people are the sovereign, okay, the state, the individual, you know, it's God, the individual, the state, and then the nation that are sovereigns. And since this form of government that we live in America is the constitutional republic, we the people are the ones that choose the leaders. We have to start choosing better leaders. That's incumbent on us, especially Christians that think that we shouldn't be involved in politics. It's absolute nonsense. So if you want a good government, then you have to elect good people. And who's going to elect good people if you're not good people yourself to elect the good people? So that's Christian. I mean, I'm calling out the Christians. You say, oh, I don't want to get political. I'm sorry, but politics has invaded the church. So it's supposed to be both. Okay, we're supposed to instruct our representatives. That's my dog, if you hear her growling. So what I'm going to do is I have two things I'm going to share with you for today's episode. And I've learned that we have to focus on local, and we have to focus on getting the right people in, and starting at the local level, a county, and then the state. That's what we can control. The federal government, I can't necessarily control except calling my senator and my congressman and letting them know what I think, and putting good people in that position. That's how I can control that. And then voting for, you know, a good president. So that's coming up next year. Obviously, we know that. So what I'm going to start doing is today, I'm going to suggest and recommend a book. It's called the Know Your Bill of Rights book. Don't Lose Your Constitutional Rights, Learn Them by Sean Patrick. I think I just got it off Amazon. And I'm just going to read the introduction because it's very informative. And this whole book goes through the Bill of Rights. And here in Tennessee, we're getting ready to have a special called session for red flag laws because of the Nashville shooting by the transgender lady who was very disturbed person. I pray for people like that. It's so tragic and so awful to have just to have that confusion in your life and to not know who you are, that how God made you special, and each individual person is made by God. But anyway, so we're coming up on that special session, and I wanted to talk about the Bill of Rights, and I will highlight the Second Amendment one that they talk about in this book. But first, I want to read the opening, the introduction, the Know Your Bill of Rights book. It's very good, and so hopefully this will maybe help you learn a little more, and I highly recommend you get this book. And it's not very long, and so it's very informative also. It opens up with a quote by Benjamin Franklin: "In free governments, the rulers are the servants, and the people their superiors and sovereigns." So there is no record of history as bloody and battered as that of the power to rule. Countless millions have been marched to their graves during wars fought over the whims of and in the interests of lone individuals. Countless millions more have suffered lives of wretched, inescapable slavery simply because they were born to the wrong class. Entire empires built by the brilliance and diligence of generations have crumbled in the hands of despotic kings with no more competence or intelligence than the lowliest beggar. For many centuries, man was locked in a social mechanism whereby an elite few arbitrarily wielded power, swinging the masses to and fro with little or no recognition or respect for the divine inspiration alight in all, us all. During man's trudge through the dystopian dark ages, however, a radical idea emerged and, like a tale of Atlantis, fired imaginations to dream of a world never before known. This simple concept was the first breath of what would become the greatest ideological transformation in history. That is, all human beings, regardless of gender, status, wealth, and religion, are born equally free and with the right to the enjoyment of life, liberty, and property, and the right to the pursuit of happiness. These natural rights are born with us, exist within us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. Moreover, these rights formed fundamental law to which all man-made systems of domination or governance were subordinate. This philosophy was a golden ray of light that punctured the gloom of past tyrannies, and it was the substance of groundbreaking recognitions of personal liberties such as the Magna Carta, the writ of habeas corpus, the petition of right, the Northwest Ordinance, and others. As history would have it, the American colonists would be the people to carry this ideology to its full fruition. America was opened, Emerson wrote, after the feudal mischief was spent, and so the people made a good start. We began well. No inquisitions here, no kings, no nobles, no dominant church. Here, heresy has lost its terrors. Early on, American colonists embraced the philosophy that all men are by nature equally free and independent and have certain inherent rights that transcend human authorities. They also became accustomed to the idea that government only existed by the consent of the people, that the people created the government, and that the people have the right to change the government if it fails to serve admirably. Aware of centuries of abuse by European monarchies and nobles, Americans also knew that without regular, fair procedures of law, there was no liberty. Fresh in their minds were the past horrors of vicious, arbitrary procedures that had been used to victimize religious and political minorities. History had proven that one's home could not be his castle, or his property be his own, nor could his right to express his opinion or to worship his God be secure if he could be searched, arrested, tried, and imprisoned in unpredictable ways with no recourse. Corrupt authorities used bills of attainder to declare political undesirables guilty and sentence them to death without trial by jury. Ex post facto laws were notoriously unfair, for they made criminal any conduct that was not a crime in the past a punishable offense, retroactively increased the penalty for a crime, or changed the rules of evidence to obtain a conviction despite a past acquittal. Visionaries such as Thomas Jefferson and James Madison saw that independence from Britain offered the American people a chance to reclaim rights regarded as supreme laws of nature and set up a government for themselves, created and limited by a supreme law that was paramount and always to it, yet unalterable by it. Thus was born a new understanding of what a constitution was, a cardinal law that would serve as the foundation of government, that would limit all branches of government, and that was unalterable by legislative authority. This differed greatly from the great English liberty documents, which limited only the crown but not the legislative power in any way, allowing Parliament to legalize any form of tyranny it pleased. Madison made his intention of a new type of constitution clear at the Constitutional Convention, where he declared that the delegates had assembled a frame, quote, a compact by which an authority was created paramount to the parties and making laws for the government of them, end quote. James Wilson had earlier established his position that, quote, all government ought to be instituted to enable the individuals who compose the Commonwealth to enjoy their natural rights, end quote. The first draft of the U.S. Constitution was completed in 1787, but it lacked a vital component, a positive statement of inalienable rights guaranteed all citizens of the nation. Jefferson stated this powerfully in a letter to John Adams, writing, quote, let me add that a Bill of Rights is what the people are entitled to against every government on earth, general or particular, and what no just government should refuse or rest on inference, end quote. Despite arguments that a Bill of Rights was unnecessary as the Constitution gave government no power to infringe on such rights, Jefferson worried that without such a declaration, legislative tyranny would be an imminent danger for the decades and centuries to come, and that executive tyranny would follow. After 2 years of controversy and debate, the triumph of individual liberty against government power, one of history's noblest themes, was finally epitomized in the American Bill of Rights. The inviolable laws to be added to the Constitution that guarded against abuse of the great rights of mankind, as Madison put it. As you will soon see, the Bill of Rights is a triumphant proclamation of sacred truths upon which freedom depends and a heroic defense of the individual against the majority, subject as it is to demagoguery and deception. By the end of this book, you will not only fully understand and appreciate the liberties the framers guaranteed you, your family, your friends, and society, but you will see how these liberties are the foundation of the lifestyle you currently enjoy. You will also glimpse the misery of life without them, a nightmare that our founders dared to believe they could prevent from ever happening again. Before we move on, however, I want to interject a solemn caveat. The framers tended to be skeptical about the effectiveness of a, quote, parchment barriers against overbearing majorities, as Madison wrote. He had seen many violations of personal liberties in every state despite their supposed legal protections. So you may wonder, how can a piece of paper come to your aid when it is needed most? The answer is, of course, that no scrap of parchment can float in and save the day. What good, you may wonder, is it for you, a mere individual, to understand and defend something like the Bill of Rights? Well, just as we saw in the noble birth of this nation, enough people of the same mind and willingness to defy tyranny can overcome any opposition and secure their future. Richard Henry Lee and James Madison rightly observed that mere paper barriers might fail, but a Bill of Rights would serve as effective education of the people because it taught truths of freedom that must remain inviolate for there to be any freedom at all. But what if the people were not given this education? What if they were ignorant of and indifferent to their natural rights? How would they guard against infringements or even know what constitutes a violation? They would not, and they would be, by definition, willing slaves. Who would guard their freedoms for them, though? Principled, admirable officials of government, you might correctly assume. But what happens when they are gone? Who will replace them at the flagpole and keep it sturdy and true? With no resolute guardians to rise from successive generations, the flag will inevitably topple, and with it the greatest social evolution in mankind's history. Jefferson stated this clearly, quote, "Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty," end quote. A cursory review of the chronicles of history shows that every civilization, empire, and nation has suffered or died from power accumulating in the wrong hands. Lord Acton famously wrote that, quote, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely," end quote. And human nature, unfortunately, is just as predictable today as it was then. God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it, said Daniel Webster. The founders were possessed of incredible compassion, insight, and forethought, but they are no longer here to protect us. Their legacy is not inscribed papers, but a magnificent vision of a free, prosperous nation whose people, as Patrick Henry boldly declared, value liberty over all, even their lives. That vision must continue, and we are the only ones who can, individual by individual, give it light and strength. True patriotism is belief in the ideals that this nation was founded upon. It is not ignorance of them and unthinking, endless devotion to government. So never forget the founders' message that we the people are governed only by our consent, that we create government, and that we have the right to change government if it exceeds its limitations. Do not take your freedoms for granted, lest they slowly erode until, like an ancient parchment, they crumble at the slightest provocation. Become educated, encourage others to follow, and together, despite our divergent political leanings, we can stand united as human beings who recognize and respect each other's rights to enjoy life and liberty, to acquire and possess property, and to pursue and obtain happiness and safety. Bingo. That was the introduction to the Bill of Rights book. I'm quickly going to read about the Second Amendment because we're under that. We're under the attack of the First Amendment also, but the Second Amendment protects all other amendments like no other. And you, it's pretty tragic and sad. You saw Venezuela, one of the richest countries in South America, go down so fast once they took the guns away from the people. And I'm telling you right now, the news yesterday was Brazil. The Brazil, the elections, if you believe, I don't care if you believe it or not, but when you use those machines, they are manipulated. They are able to be manipulated because they're connected to internet. It's all about programming them. And that person who was released from jail, the current president down there now, his name is escaping me, I'm sorry, was released from jail to run against Bolsonaro, who quote-unquote lost to this criminal. He is now declaring that they are putting restrictions and coming for their guns in Brazil. I mean, that was just a given. You knew that was going to happen. So here's our Second Amendment. Okay, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I'll quickly read the story behind the Second Amendment. Let's see how long that is. A couple pages here. But Americans have unsurprisingly embraced the belief that a right of revolution is a natural right. Okay, we have all heard that an armed population is a shield against tyranny. Despite the fact that the Constitution does not authorize militias to wage war against the government, okay, that's not what we're supposed to do, Americans theoretically have a right to insurrection to correct intolerable and systematic abuses. And it's even endorsed by some state constitutions. But the Second Amendment does the Second Amendment give individuals the right to own and carry weapons, or does it restrict these rights only to members of the militia? Is this a protection of personal or collective rights? Okay, so it goes on to talk about that here and does a little bit of history in the right to bear arms in England, and then a different Virginia Declaration of Rights of 1776. But notwithstanding, should Americans ever find themselves faced with an incurable government of totalitarian oppression, a government that has abandoned the very principles this nation was founded upon and that reconstituted a slavery like that of the past, then the people have the natural, inalienable right to change the government as they see fit, and the spirit of this amendment clearly applies. So it's talking about, you know, people like to say, well, you know, the Second Amendment was written a long time ago and it doesn't apply now. No, our Constitution is not a living, breathing document. It's set in stone and it can only be added to through amendments. And there's a huge, incredibly complex process that has to go through to get an amendment. There have been thousands upon thousands of amendments proposed and we only have 27. So that tells you a little something about the process of changing amendments. So keep your eye out in your state. Study your state constitution. Study our national U.S. Constitution. And start educating yourself on these rights. Because they are extremely important rights. Like no other country in history. Our Constitution has been around the longest constitution in history. The average one lasts 17 years. Ours has lasted over 230 years. That is a miracle in itself. But we're about to lose everything. And it's easy to see when you look out what is happening in our nation at the federal level and some states also. So the only way you can make a difference is doing something locally. Get with a group like Empowered Jefferson or other constitutional conservatives that honor and respect our founding, and that way you can make a difference locally. You can also go to giveHim15.com, which I will be linking in the show notes, and sign up, find your state, and sign up to be in one of the prayer groups. And maybe pray over your city or your county or your state. There's some great, incredible stories of Christians that are doing this in their local communities and in regions. And so I highly encourage you to get with some friends, a prayer group, and do that together. I'm going to be doing that with a small prayer group that I have here And we're going to be just doing that in our county. And that is a vital thing that Christians can do to make a difference, is to just pray over each place that you live in. And so moving forward, like I talked about with Give Him 15 and the command the forward, that's what I hope to be doing more and more with the episodes moving forward. So thank you again for listening. I encourage you to get up, make a difference. It's incumbent upon us as Christians to do that. And I want to be honor the Lord and be able to stand there in front of Him and say, I didn't sit on the couch and eat bonbons when I needed to be out there doing something and making a difference or praying or whatever it might be that the Lord's calling you to do. So go out there and do that. And our country is worth it. The gospel is worth it. You know, our nation was founded upon that premise, to spread the gospel. I'll be sharing more and more stories about that in future episodes. So thank you again, once again, for following me. StraightTalkWithMJ.net. You can find all my episodes, and we will talk again soon.